This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 273 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from shuddersincpodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again, from creativephotoworkshops.com.au, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you?
Episode 273 and final, I'm afraid.
Okay, maybe it is for you. Why?
No, I saw what you did with the podcast before I came on board, dude. Trust me, it's the final.
Hey?
I saw what you did with the podcast before I came along, dude. You know?
So you reckon if you go, it's all over?
It's all over by the shouting. Right. You might feature on for a few more months, but no one's going to be listening. I'm taking the 7 listeners with me.
Right.
No, I was actually having a little chat with an online chat with one of our regular listeners during the week.
Yeah.
And he said something so disturbing.
Right.
So just to the core upsetting me.
Right.
That I can't do another podcast with this burning in my brain.
Right. Did he compliment me and diss you?
Worse than that?
Worse than that?
I know, that's hard to believe.
What did he say? Pray tell.
He said that he listens to the podcast in the jacuzzi. There's Brian Mundy from Los Angeles, my mate Brian. And I've seen Brian, fortunately, clothed.
Right.
But now all I can visualize is him naked in the jacuzzi listening to me.
That is a disturbing image.
Head. What is the man doing sitting in a jacuzzi listening to this? Surely he's not relaxing. Isn't the point of the jacuzzi to sit there and be bubbles and warmth and just relax?
Well, that's my understanding. But hey.
And you listen to this? It might put you to sleep. You could drown under the water. You could just slowly sink under. Boop, 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 boop. No one would know you're in there. The bubbles would hide you.
That's it.
Oh, dear. So I'm not sure if I'm going to try during the week to see if I can get over it. But otherwise, if you ring next Thursday night and no one answers, you know why.
Fair enough. So how has your week been?
It's been days since I've seen you.
It has been days. Did you have a good flight back?
Oh, yeah. I did all the normal stuff that I do. Yeah, I sat there and waited for them to finish, and we got off, and I worked hard on that flight. Yeah, I ate the pretzels, I drank the drink, I smiled at the people. It's all Bruce and I caught up at the Digital Playground in Sydney on the weekend.
We did.
And so I was up there, left Saturday morning, back Sunday night. So nice quick trip, just the way I like them.
Yep.
These days. But
your last trip now for a
it's
while?
It's hopefully my last trip for the year.
Cool.
I'm kind of hoping I'm going to have some downtime. No, I'm still be doing the regular 2 workshops a week.
Yeah.
And I'll throw in some other ones. Like I've got an event on next week, and I've got I'll throw some other evening ones on between now and Christmas anyway.
Yeah.
But it doesn't involve travel, which is kind of nice. I'm sleeping in my own bed.
Yeah.
Seeing the kids in the morning, that sort of stuff. So
nice.
I've run probably at least 100 odd workshops so far this year, and just need to have a bit of a relax.
Fair enough. Too.
I love them. People who know I'm there, doesn't matter how many I do, I'm as energetic for each one. I love them all. I give them all the same attention. Yeah, not much. I treat them all the same badly. But yeah, I just need to just not be traveling to do it just for a couple of months.
Yeah, look, getting back to the Digital Playground.
Yes.
It was a bit of a ghost town.
The Digital Ghost Town. That's probably what I should call it next year, really, shouldn't they? The Digital Ghost Town. I mean, it makes as much sense as the Digital Playground.
It does.
There's no one much playing around in the playground. Well, it was in a playground. It was in Luna Park,
yeah.
A theme park. Well, so it was in the digital in the playground.
Yeah.
But as I said, on the weekend, I found the answer to the problem. Someone needs to find a printer bigger than A3.
Yes.
And what we're seeing here, folks, is that this is the Digital Playground at Luna Park.
Yep.
Canon, Nikon, everyone doing stands, cleverly hidden.
Oh, yeah.
Very, very cleverly hidden, because there was not a single bit of marketing in the entire Luna Park to show where to go,
yep,
except for 2 A3 signs.
Now, for all of the listeners who are not Australian or Australia-based, try and imagine
Disneyland.
Disneyland shrunk down to one hundredth of its size, into Luna Park, which probably takes up a couple of acres on the side of Sydney Harbour. But it is like it's a fairground. You know, there's lots of noise, lots of coloured lights that are flashing. There's all sorts of things signage to attract your eye. There are all sorts of, you know, manner of sounds to grab your ear and all manner of smells from the various food outlets and whatever. There is so much input for your brain that you would imagine that if you're going to hold a photographic, you know, show, then you would have some large, highly visible, you know, signage.
Well, what I think they were going for was there's so much bright and busy stuff there. If they put something small and plain out, it'll draw people's attention because it stands out.
Well, they failed.
Could have been reverse psychology.
They failed.
And then the two security guards standing the door to a free exhibit got the exhibition sort of kind of puts people off.
Looking like bouncers at a nightclub. Yeah.
Pretty much. You know, it's like, well. Yeah. So, yeah, I've got to say that numbers to the exhibition part of the show was deplorable.
Yeah.
Just diabolically bad.
And it was sad to see so little, you know, floor space required for this show.
Oh, I think there's about as much as you can possibly fill these days. That's it. Yeah. Our industry is gone, dude. Like, as I keep saying, we are not the industry we used to be. Was it Sony just this week announced another $2.6 billion loss? You know, you can't keep doing that sort of stuff for too long, can you?
No. Is that just the photographic division?
Well, it's actually mostly blamed on their phones, they reckon.
Oh, right.
So, yeah. So, but yeah, the company as a whole, yeah, it's got to be a bit diabolical.
Yeah, right.
And they keep and every time they make announcements, these companies, it's not one. Look how much profit they're not like banks. Look how much profit we made.
Yeah.
Let's look how much we lost this time round.
Yeah.
it's a race to the bottom.
Their idea of a good news day is we didn't lose as much as we thought we were going to.
That's right. We thought we were going to lose $3 billion, but it's only 2.97. Oh, gosh. So, yeah, the show was – and here's the thing.
Yep.
You're saying how – you know, small the thing was.
Yeah.
Well, I was talking to the organizer of the show a couple of days during the event.
Yeah.
And he said he didn't see Nikon or Canon wouldn't show him their plans at all before the show. And he was shocked at how big they were.
Their plans?
As in the plans for what their stands were going to look like, what their booths were going to look like.
Oh, what?
And yeah, and he was amazed at how much they'd spent on the thing. Wow. He thought they were a bit mad. And there's you saying the opposite. So, how sad it looked, and he's going, look how much they spent, how silly. Yeah.
Wow. That's a sad indictment, right?
Yeah.
There.
But I said, if you compared the Melbourne show for the week previously, which was, it was targeted differently, I admit,
yeah,
but all they had was, you know, tables with cloths over the top of them, even for Canon and Nikon, you know?
Yeah, right. Wow.
Where here they've got these big mega stands, you know, moderately mega stands.
Yeah.
Very moderately mega, but yeah, compared to a tablecloth, it's quite substantial.
I just can't help but think back, you know, 4 years ago when it was at the Darling Harbour Exhibition Centre, and it, you know, it took up, you know, 10 times the amount of space that it took up, you know, this year.
Yeah.
And all of the stands were, you know, much bigger than what we saw last weekend.
Yep.
And it's just, you know.
Well, so this is not the same show, though.
No, I realise that.
So that show will be back again next year.
In Sydney?
Yeah.
Or in Melbourne?
Possibly. I don't know.
Right.
That's a biannual show now.
Right.
So, and they're going to try and put these digital playgrounds on annually, but they're going to need a better format than what they did. But I've got to say, the talks were pretty well attended.
Were they?
They had 120, 130 people in most sessions, which is reasonably good.
That's not bad for a thing that had no visual signage outside.
Yeah, and that was a pay to play. So it, yeah, the show was free, but if you wanted to go to a talk, you had to pay.
Yeah, right.
The thing is, they really should have had it in the same building, I mean, in separate buildings in Luna Park. That drags your audience away.
Yeah.
And that wasn't a good thing. I reckon
and particularly when, you know, what's in between those two locations is so visually appealing that it can distract people, you know, from getting from one building to the other.
Want to go take photos of cool and fun, interesting things. Yeah.
That's
so, right. I mean, my chalk...
Nothing wrong with my attention span. Oh, look, squirrel. Ooh. You know.
It's not called ADBSO for nothing. You know?
Yeah, that's it.
The my chalk, I said, was fabulous, I have to say. I was really quite... That was really quite good. As I jokingly said on Facebook, and it seemed to have got taken a little bit too serious.
That was brilliant.
That I won second best speaker in my time slot. And then someone comes in, were there more than one speaker? I said, no, just me. Yeah. And then there was all congratulations, well done, oh, you deserve it. I'm going, guys, guys, come on.
Irony was not their strong suit.
100-odd. Comments and likes later. It's like, really?
Lovely.
Irony's lost.
That's it.
But I was pleased. I was walking through a marketplace early in the morning. I was doing some filming for Tamron.
Yeah.
I was doing some sort of, you know, travel / street shooting stuff.
Yeah.
Trying to get the new Tamron 16-300, which I'd never tried, never used. And I've
sorry,
got,
so, what size?
New Tamron 16-300.
16-300. Wow. Yeah, okay.
It's a few months old now, but it's first time I've actually seen it and played and actually shot with it.
Yep.
And it was fabulous for sharpness for an all-in-one lens. It was awful. Awesome. Not awful, but it was awesome.
Yeah. Right.
But I was walking along and the camera people had all gone back. I was just going to actually take some shots, so I didn't have to worry about them following me around. Mm-hmm. And I've come around this corner. I see two people with cameras around their neck, and they've both got Tamron lenses on.
Yep.
So, yeah, maybe, man. I've got a, God, love your lenses, guys. And they've got, oh, great. And the woman said, oh, this one's been, the husband's name was Bill. Can't remember the lady's name, unfortunately. She goes, oh, this lens has been to Antarctica and there. And wow. She had the 18 to 270, he had the 24 to 70. And I said, oh, do you know there's a photo show down the in Luna Park? She goes, that's what we've come down for. I said, oh, fabulous. She said, we've come to see a speaker. He's doing a talk on street photography. I said, oh, that's me. You're just kind of good. And, excellent. So I'm walking around the fair, the marketplace, and I want to do some stuff, yeah, things you see. Plus, I want to take some people shots because that's what I do.
Yeah.
And so I met this guy who had a pretty interesting looking face. His name was Mike McGee, and and he had a coffee stall. And I found out he'd been living in this village in Guatemala for a year. Got really friendly, and now he imports that village's coffee beans and runs this little coffee stall every weekend.
Wow.
So I took some photos of him.
Yeah,
and we exchanged details. I'll sit and send the photos to him. But he sent me an email yesterday saying straight after my talk, half a dozen people went straight up to the market to his store, bought coffee beans, and all this stuff based on the photos in the talk.
Oh, nice!
Which is fabulous. Yeah, it was kind of a bit of it was just lovely.
Yeah, yeah. Cool.
I don't know if they photographed him, but it's kind of funny how those things come circular like that.
Yes. Yeah.
And then a group of people wanted to. My talk finished, and it was lunchtime. So a bunch of people wanted to talk, to me afterwards and ask questions. And it turned into an impromptu photo shoot because when this woman came up, she had just the most gorgeous face, and she had a lovely scarf on, and she had great character.
Right.
So we, about half a dozen of us set up and did a little natural light portrait shoot of her.
Nice.
Which was, and they said, "This is how you shoot people you don't know." look, I had a great time up there. I met some lovely people.
Excellent.
I destroyed my low pro roller.
Oh, how?
I'm pretty. I just destroy stuff too. If it's going to happen, anyone's going to happen to me. But fortunately, it happened in front of the product manager. Yeah, of low pro.
Nice.
And so I've got a brand new one there on the spot.
Oh.
In fact, it's an upgrade. It's a new version, better model. Blah 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 blah. Slightly bigger.
Yeah.
Could hardly get on the plane.
Oh.
Not as in it wouldn't. I've got it on. Yeah. I couldn't get it in.
Oh.
I was in a much smaller plane the way back than I was on the way up.
Right.
It was a bit of a tight squeeze. Right. But we got on there. So it's nice to destroy that there. And I've got myself a new Tamron 16-300, which is
nice.
Lovely.
Nice.
It's got a oh, I'll have one of those. Pick up those little bits and pieces. Because I used to use the Tamron 18-270 all the time.
Okay.
On my so-called crop sensor camera, because when I'm shooting with the kids and I'm just out for like a picnic or whatever, or just fun with the kids, not carrying all my gear, And it's the idea, it was the ideal all-rounder lens. You know, when they're close, you can shoot a bit wider. When they're a bit further away, you can yell at them and zoom in, that sort of stuff. Yep. But I destroyed it. As you do. So it's kind of nice to have it. A, the new one's smaller. It's built better, which might help. and faster focusing and sharp as a nun's tongue.
Right.
So very, very happy with that. I'll be putting that to good use these school holidays, I reckon.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, I saw your Pixel Stick photos.
Yes. What do you think?
They look great. You're likely to incur the wrath of many sci-fi fans by going all with sacrilegious and putting the Starship Enterprise and the TARDIS in one photograph.
Yep. You know what I almost put in there as well?
What?
Stormtrooper. Star Wars. I've got him. Could do it now if I wanted to.
Right. So yeah. Was it simple enough to do, the Pixel Stick?
It was. I just said, Frosty, who owns it, do this.
Right. You know, would he answer in the same manner if I was to ask him the same question?
I sent him a bunch of photos I wanted to use, and we only used one of them in the end.
Right.
And he resized them to, I think it's 200 by 200 pixels in size.
What, that's all it needs?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then he puts them on the SD card, put it in the control, and you can just tell it what you want it to do.
Wow.
What we found worked best, as you can see in the photos, was the rainbow ribbon.
Yeah, that looked great.
Wave, which, and you can put that on continuous and just keep them walking and fill up whatever space you want. So that looked pretty good.
Yeah,
and
nice.
That with the eyeball stuck at the end of the alleyway.
Now, the one with the corkscrew, what were you doing with the Pixel Stick?
I just told him to spin it.
Oh, right.
So it's got a imagine it's like a T shape,
right?
So the LED lights are on this big long bar,
yep.
And there's another bar in the middle like a T shape, and you can spin it.
Oh, okay. So you just walk and spin it.
It's walking back and rotating, basically.
Yeah, right.
Easy peasy. So we only had 15, 20 minutes to have a play with it. I didn't. Yeah.
Yep.
It was already 9:30 at night by the time we started.
Yep.
So after our LED photo walk. But it's got some great potential, some great
goals. Cool. And how did the continuous lighting photo walk go?
Oh, it was fabulous. No, it was really good. It's the first time I've done this one in Australia. I've run it a few times in the US.
Right.
I don't know why. I've just been lazy not to do it here. but the reason I love it, as always, is it's, and I was saying to the guys in the night, because everyone was there. There's six people along for the night.
Yeah,
they've all been to multiple workshops with me, so I knew them all.
Right,
and I said, the hardest thing for me to teach is the visualization of where light's going to hit.
Yeah.
So if I'm doing off-camera flash stuff, I see it, but you guys don't know why. Why am I putting the flash there? Why am I setting it there? It's harder for them to understand.
Right.
So the great thing about the LED, of course, is you can see the light straight away.
Yeah.
You know why it's there.
Yeah.
You know why she's posed that particular way or the face is facing that particular, because you see the light.
Yeah.
And they all saw the light.
Excellent.
And we had some fun. We had some ideas that we thought were going to work and didn't work.
Yep.
Like most workshops. But here's the thing. Whilst we're walking to the, I never like to pre-plan. Can you pre-plan? I never like to plan out a workshop. I never like to have enough. I didn't even location scout the area we're going to shoot.
Okay.
We just show up and we walk and look.
Yep.
But we started heading and doing, I think there might be something over there that might be okay. So I'm heading in one direction and I see something else, we shoot that. And it was like that all night long. We're heading to do one thing and end up doing something else.
There's your ADBSO again, yeah.
That's the way I like to work. I like to be open to what's in front of me rather than what I would like to hopefully find.
Right.
Yeah. Liking to hopefully find often means lots of disappointment. Being open to what's in front of you often means, oh, I didn't see that. That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were using using natural ambient light sources mixed with LED. We were shooting up into trees that were lit with, this is in trees in Melbourne. It was really bizarre to look at when you're walking along at night.
Hmm.
They're lit with pink lights.
Okay.
But the combination of the type of tree they're lighting and the particular shade of pink to the naked eye looks like a heavily magented black and white photograph.
Oh, okay.
It's like there's no color except a color cast.
Yeah, right.
And you look at it, it just does your head in. It just looks so damn weird.
Wow.
But in the photographs, it comes out pink.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but to the eye, it's this flat, monochromatic, two-dimensional looking environment.
Now, I know I'm wasting my breath, but when you say it comes out pink in the photograph, based on what white balance?
Well, auto, of course.
Of course. Okay.
What do you expect, lad? But yeah, it was just a great fun event. Lots of cool photos. Once again, because everyone can shoot, because it's continuous lighting.
Yeah.
People can do more shots than they probably normally would do at a more restricted lighting event like flash, which only one person's firing at a time.
Yeah.
It does tend to mean they shoot from wrong angles a bit.
Yeah.
But when I say wrong for my vision.
Yep.
They do tend to take more stupid photos than I would let them normally do. But it's a great fun event. It's relaxing. It's like my art nude workshop.
Yeah.
It's just fun shooting.
Cool.
As opposed to hard learning, which is probably it's a bit more relaxing. So I had a great night with that. A lot of fun.
Cool. Now, you've been to the footy?
I went to the footy. Well, my team's playing in the finals up in Sydney this weekend.
Oh, who are you backing?
My team.
That'd be North Melbourne.
That'd be the one.
Right.
And
I've got to say, I was surprised to see them get up over the Cats.
Yeah, me too. And the week before that.
Your chances against Sydney at home, though.
I don't. Well, we've beat them in Sydney at home once so far this year.
Yeah? Okay.
We're the only team in the league that's beaten all the teams that are still in play.
Yeah, right.
So, but we're going to lose.
It's shaping.
We went to training anyway. Today.
Yeah.
They had open training, went down there, and my daughter wanted to get some autographs and stuff. And the one place she went for, her favourite player, she didn't get the autograph, and so I had to console the poor crying kid.
Right.
But she was being photographed by a photographer there. We're having sausage sizzle, sausage and bread.
Right.
It's a typical footy fair. And she had all North Melbourne stuff on. So this photographer was shooting her getting the food.
Hmm.
And but she had this great little rig set up. She had a Black Rapid twin harness setup going.
Right.
Two cameras, 16 to 35 on one, 70 to 200 on the other.
Yeah.
But then on the back, on another little sling on the back, she has her iPad. And she's wirelessly streaming straight away onto her iPad as she's walking around shooting.
Wow.
It was just a great little setup, great little rig. She's going bang, 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 bang. Because when I arrived, I walked past her, and then she's on the iPad with all these photographs and obviously sending them off, uploading to media or whatever.
Right.
And then she was back out shooting again. And once again, just all straight. So it's right in the middle of her back. She just walks around and bang, bang, bang.
Wow.
Very cool little setup.
Yeah. Wow. Talk about instant delivery.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's kind of what it has to be these days, isn't it? People want to know straight away.
Yeah.
Just a neat solution to it, I thought, rather than instant having to go and download onto a laptop, or instant being uploads to somebody else who's out of your control.
Yeah.
Yeah, here you get to do the selection process and then...
It's funny you should bring this up, because I was only thinking about this a week or so back about, and based on my own experiences with the rally, and just how quickly clients expect to see images these days. And it made me think that for all the prevailing attitude of, we'll fix it in Photoshop, I think these tighter deadlines, we need the images within minutes of it happening kind of thing, is going to bring the whole ethos of get it right in camera back into favor.
Depending on the type of photos.
Okay.
Being that if we're talking news, sports, event type stuff, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But that's never really changed, I don't think.
Okay.
I don't think there's ever been a time when if you're shooting the Olympics in 1976, if there was one there.
In Montreal, yep.
There you go. You're just dumping the film. They're going, they're not processing. They're not taking the darkroom and manipulating. They're straight to press with the stuff.
Yeah.
So I don't think in that type of thing there's been a lot of heavy manipulation of work, even in the digital age.
In the photojournalism sphere.
Yeah, in the photojournalism style of stuff. Everything's got faster and faster and faster, but I think the actual in-camera stuff's always been the case with those guys.
Right.
Whereas if you're shooting, say, Fashion Week, as an example.
Right.
I think they're not just upload. Well, mind you, if you're shooting Fashion Week, these people are so made up anyway, they might as well be photoshopped.
Yeah.
So you can shoot them pretty much straight away as well. But yeah, so I think a lot of that stuff, if you're doing that fast photojournalist stuff, it's not really that change. And if you're doing paparazzi, you want them looking bad.
Yeah, well,
you
that's
want
true.
Them looking fat. You want to see the cellulite. You want to see the no makeup.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, you're wrong.
Okay.
you're wrong in the most right sense.
Yeah, right.
So you're right, but you're wrong.
Okay. Yeah. So tell us about iOS 8.
Well, first, I've been doing, as you know, every school holidays, I've been doing photo shoots of the kids just for fun.
Yeah.
Well, this week, a photographer friend of mine's overseas, right. And she asked me to look after, feed her dog every day.
Okay.
And she's got this awesome little, she photographs babies and stuff and weddings.
Yeah.
And she's got this awesome little natural light studio where she's got white wooden floorboards and a white wall and a lovely window with this lovely light coming in all the time.
Wow.
So, rather than doing anything particularly complex with my photo shoot this week, I've just been taking the kids around to feed the dogs, shooting them with my iPhone.
Oh, okay.
Just only shooting with the iPhone only.
Yeah, right.
And you might ask, why iPhone only? Why did you make that choice, Glenn?
Why on iPhone only, Glenn?
Why did you make that choice?
Why'd you make that choice?
I was too lazy to carry the rest of the stuff.
Right, okay.
Yep. And face it, in that kind of environment, though, where everything's evenly lit.
Yes, and very diffuse light.
The iPhone's not going to have any problem with contrast issues or exposure. And sharpness is great. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been having all this awesome fun and then a little bit of post-processing on Snapseed and whatever and popping them online in minutes flat.
Cool.
Yeah. And so I've done a whole bunch of little shoots this week with the kids with iPhone and just plain fun is what would take me kids' photos should be.
Yeah, cool.
But iOS 8 became available this morning
In
Australia. So, of course, being the nerd that I am, had to get it straight away.
Right.
But they've updated an awful lot. But what's important to us as photographers or phonographers is the new editing abilities in the iPhone photo album software is fabulous.
Oh, okay.
It's almost like Lightroom, but not.
Right.
Being that you've got individual sliders for contrast, for brightness, for saturation, for just everything you can imagine.
Yep.
You've got an individual slider for.
Right,
and so you can really get in there, really work a photograph quite well, very quickly.
So, have they taken some of the tools out of Aperture and incorporated them into this iOS software? Or
I don't know, I've never used Aperture. I don't know.
Oh, okay.
But there's stuff like
they killed Aperture off, didn't they?
Yeah, effectively. But the things like black point sliders and everything else. But just the layout, the design of it is so well, it's so intuitive and so easy to do stuff.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, though. There's a whole bunch of auto settings for it, but it doesn't take much of a genius to figure out how to do interesting stuff just by taking control yourself rather than an auto bot to do it for you.
Yep.
So you can have a lot of control. You can have a lot of fun with it. And as with everything in photography, it's probably the way it should be.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. But so the way it works, the way its sliders work, it's easy peasy.
Cool.
So I'm really pleased.
And
then they've added, in the shooting side of things, they've added time-lapse to their shooting camera now as well.
Okay. So what sort of time-lapse?
Well, what a time-lapse is, Bruce, is what happens is it takes a sequence of photographs over a period of time.
Right.
Of an object or scene, and then it puts it together as a movie. So what, say, a whole bunch of photographs of, say, a scene with clouds in them, when strung together over a period of time, makes it look like the clouds are moving over the scene.
Ingenious.
Yeah. Time-lapse.
Fantastic.
No, it's actually auto-time-lapse. It decides.
Right.
I don't know how. It just automatically, based on the scene it sees, automatically just does photographs.
Right.
At whatever pace and time it decides.
Oh, okay.
So it might not work at all.
Sounds like you're going to end up with movies that will look like they were shot on hand-wound movie cameras from 1910.
Who knows? But once again, up there for stealing what everyone else's, all the other developers have been doing on their phones, stealing their ideas and putting it into theirs. It's a fantastic model when you think about it. You open up your architecture to people to develop cool things that they can sell.
Yeah.
And if it really takes off, you just give it to everyone for free on your next update. It's fabulous.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got all the photo albums are now searchable. It can be searchable like by location. It's really quite a good update for us photographers.
Yeah,
as FAUX.
Yep,
as photographers. So yeah, look, I only finished downloading it today, and of course, being not daddy daycare, but being parenting all day long.
Yeah,
I haven't had a lot of time to play with it, but it's looking pretty darn good.
Excellent.
And one other thing is not necessarily photo specifically related, but one of the great things about iOS is it's now family sharing abilities. What that means is if I download an app that I like and I want to give it to my wife, now we have different iTunes accounts, but we're in the same family and the billing address is the same.
Right, you're referring to paid apps, not free apps.
Yeah, paid apps. Right. Yeah, well, if it's a free app, she could download it herself, couldn't she? So it's the thing. So if I download a new photo app that I really like and I want her to use it too.
Yeah, right.
So which is good. Or if I download an album, outside of photo, if I download a movie or an album on my iPad that I really like and think, she's going to want to have it for the kids as well, boom, she's got it too.
Wow.
Which has been a bit of a nightmare previous to that because couldn't do that.
Yeah.
What's
hot out of Photo Kina?
Oh, it's all about Photo Kina, baby.
Are you lusting after the 7D Mark II?
Oh, I'd have one. I'll talk about that.
Someone gave it to me.
I don't pay for anything, do I? Not going to run that and buy something, for goodness sake. Samsung.
Mm-hmm.
Not the first name you'd normally think to jump out and talk about from the big photo shows.
Mm-hmm.
But the new NX1 looks very interesting. It's actually brought out to compete in that 7D2, space.
Yeah.
Space. The final frontier. That's how many ears Captain Kirk's got, 3 years, you know that? That higher end DSLR, not 35mm sensor / full frame, but smaller, but it's the world's first.
So what's a BSI sensor?
Well, I was kidding there, dude.
Okay.
It's the world's first BSI sensor.
We'll get there quicker.
Backside illuminated.
Ah.
It's like being mooned.
Right.
New moon sensor has got the backside illuminated. Okay. All the small cameras have the backside illumination sensors going, all the small cameras, for quite a while.
Right.
So they've taken all the architecture that needs to work a sensor and put it behind the sensor to allow more light gathering capabilities of the sensor.
Okay.
More maximum. Well, this is the first really large sensor that's come out that's got this technology built into it.
Okay.
And it's supposed to make it quite a difference to ISO and its low light capabilities.
Hmm.
But it's 28 megapixels, not mo like I read in my notes.
Right.
Megapixels shooting it then can shoot at 14 frames a second.
Okay.
It's a lot of data.
Who the hell wants to shoot at 14 frames a second? Certainly not a videographer. A videographer wants 30 frames a second.
Yeah, but hang on a sec.
Yeah.
You can do video if you want to do video, but if you want to shoot, I don't know, say high-speed photography of someone popping a balloon.
Yeah.
But 14 frames per second for sport, that's what the high-end pro cameras have been using for ages.
Yep.
So, you've got that the high speed. But to be able to do a camera, a basic
point and shoot,
a mid-level, entry mid-level camera, to be able to have this sort of A, resolution, B, speed is quite astounding.
Yeah,
true. And for those video lovers out there, it now does H.265 codec. Can you believe it?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
What is it?
Well, it's just the latest generation of video compression.
Double powered. Well, that's...
So I haven't actually looked at the specs of the NX1, so I don't know what the video output is like, but I'm assuming it would be at least 1080p, if not 4K.
Oh, you'd imagine. Yeah, 1080p, absolutely.
You have no idea.
4,000 what? But no, nothing would come out these days as anything less than 1080p, would it? Surely.
No. Surely. But, yeah, the interesting thing would be to see what sort of frame rates it's capable of as well. But, yeah, I mean, as you say, for where I think situated in the
the 60 frames
market, you know, it is pretty well spec'd.
Yeah, amazing. And then you look at the 7D2 bit, which is what it's sort of competing with, which, as I said, it's a standard. It's 7 years between models.
Wow.
It's kind of imagine that.
What, since the original 7D?
Yep, it was announced in 2007.
Wow.
I got mine in 2007.
Wow.
I remember my daughter was just born. My eldest daughter was just born, and she's now 7.
Yeah, right.
And it's 2014, and that was 2007, and it's 7, and she's 7, and it's a 7 camera.
Wow. That's all just freaky.
I wonder if that was deliberate. Let's release a model called 7 and not release another one for another 7 years so someone once in a podcast sometime in the future can go, what's odd?
Okay, so it does 10 frames a second.
So it's up a whole 2 frames a second from the previous one.
Right.
Woo.
Yeah. Shutter 200,000.
Once again, the Samsung can do 20. It can do 14. So it's down on that.
Yeah.
200,000 shutter actuations, which is
so that's
darn
the expected
good.
Lifespan of the shutter.
Yeah, which is up from like the 75 to 100,000 that most of those cameras are. So that's kind of good.
Yeah, definitely.
It has this, in the 7 years, it's only gone from 18 megapixels to 20.2 megapixels.
Yeah, but that's a good thing.
I agree, but I'll say the megapixel war is over.
Yeah.
Isn't it amazing that mad rush in volume increase in bloody megapixels, and all of a sudden, poof, in 7 years,
no one cares.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Canon don't care. Let's put it that way.
Well, like I said, it's one of the things that attracts me so much to the Sony A7S. You know, a 12 megapixel camera is more than adequate for 99% of the stuff you want to shoot.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got the benefit of better low light performance because, you know, your photo sites are spaced out a little bit more on the sensor.
Absolutely. I agree.
Anyway, what else has it got? Twin cards.
They can do SD and compact flash, which is nice. You can shoot to both at the same time, and you've got a backup, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
Its focus is improved over the old 7D, as you'd imagine. That's one of the things, the areas that would have had vast improvement over the years. So it's pretty much got a scaled-down version of what the 1DX, the top pro camera, does.
Right. So when you say better focus options, you're saying that its autofocus tracking is better?
Yeah, so it's got like 65 cross-sensor
right.
detectors, all this sort of stuff.
Yep.
But what's interesting is the Samsung's got like 296 or something.
Wow.
So interesting that, once again, wow, they've got this big thing, but this other brand's 5 times more, you know?
Yeah. And probably a fifth of the price.
No, they're about the same, to compete in the same sort of price point.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a high end. Samsung's a high end camera. It's magnesium alloy build and all this sort. It's a solid piece of kit.
Right.
And if you like your video, the new version does like 60 frames a second, 50 frames, 40, 30. Yeah, there's much more playground for video. Because remember when the 7D came out, it was revolutionary. The 7D and the 5D2 that they could do video in an SLR.
Yeah.
It's gone a long way. But so I put in my notes. Looking at the changes, while some of them are kind of nice, it just goes to show how good the old 7D was/is.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
if in 7 years that's the full extent of their improvements,
yeah,
that's still a pretty darn good. So if you own a 7D and you're lusting after a 7D2, don't.
Rakesh, are you listening?
that 7D's a if after 7 years they've only been able to tweak what they had. And as far as I'm concerned, that's really all it is. It's a tweak.
Yeah, there's no wholesale changes.
Yeah. So that's a darn good
indictment on the original.
Yeah. And to keep what you had.
Yeah.
So of course, so Canon did release this at Photokina. They also released a couple of other little cameras,
right?
Compacts.
Yeah.
But if we look at DP reviews or D preview, depending on what you, which has Canon, from two cameras only, now make up 59% of all views on the top 10 list of reviews. Remember, so we've got all these months with nothing, and now all of a sudden two cameras take up almost 60% of all views. That's when Panasonic and Samsung, all these other companies releasing new cameras,
yep.
at PhotoKeynit, Nikon included with the D7, whatever it is.
50.
60% to Canon straight away. So it shows that market dominance, doesn't it? Yeah. Quite astounding. Yeah. So the other Canon I was looking at, though, was the new SX60, little, all-in-one little cameras, little big zoom suckers. Right. The only comment I'm going to make on this thing is its zoom.
Right.
It has an equivalent zoom of 21 to 1,365 zoom.
What?
21 to 1,365.
That's insane.
It's amazing.
So that's like 60 times optical.
More. But wait, there's more. It's astounding. I think it's...
it's about 65. Yeah, 60, 65 times. Wow, that's insane.
65, exactly. I got a calculator out.
Oh, did you? I did it in my head.
Yeah, well, I knew I could do... Look, I can do 20 times 60 is 12. I get that. I was trying to get to exact. Is it 64? Is it 65? The ending in 5 in the number, it probably should have been a bit of a giveaway. Right. 21 to 1,365 should have been a bit of a giveaway. But that, what an astounding zoom.
That's crazy. What
an absolutely astounding zoom.
Yeah.
And then Nikon released the new D710. Did you see that? Oh, no. Sorry, the 750.
Right.
Because we've got an 810. We've got a 610.
Right.
Let's call it not another 10.
Right.
Let's not keep any sort of synergy. And so I only bring this up because Nikon people are always having to go at Canon about their Mark IIs, Mark IIIs, Mark IV, all this sort of stuff.
Right.
Get your naming system some sort of cohesion, people.
Yeah.
610, 750, 810. I can see what they're trying to do is avoid confusion between the 7100 and the 710.
Right.
If that's the case, don't call your camera 7100. Keep your flagships in line with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was always a great thing about Canon back in the film days. You had the 1, the 3, and the 5. Yeah. The 1 was the best. Yep. 3 was the second best. The 5. I don't know what happened to 2 and 4. You know what I mean? It was, at least it was easier to follow.
Yeah.
But if anyone's interested in the latest Nikon, go Google it up. I'm not going to talk too much about it. Not that I'm against Nikon, but I read this question somebody asking on the internet, and the question was, so why should I buy an 810 if there's a 750? Now, right. The 810 is apparently substantially more expensive.
Okay.
So good question. In our opinion, the main reason to buy an 810 over the 750 is probably the most obvious one. 36 megapixels compared to 24.
Oh, hello. The 90s called. They want their cameras back.
Want their cameras back. Exactly.
Jeez. Seriously?
Furthermore, the D810's ISO 64 expands the shooting possibilities of fast primes in bright light and arguably might offer a slight dynamic range advantage over what we'd expect from the ISO 100 on the D750. There might be a microscopic difference between these two things when we're photographing our train engines.
Yeah.
In most other respects...
With a half-stop ISO change.
In most respects, the 750 holds its own against the more expensive camera and in some ways should actually outperform it.
Right.
So Nikon just announced the 810 recently, and then they bring out a cheaper model that, according to this,
it's just
should
as good.
Actually outperform it.
Right.
And it shouldn't be just as good. It should outperform it. And it's got a flexible screen, so when you're doing your landscapes and stuff, it's a little bit easier to use.
Right.
Kind of, I don't know.
Do we care about what bastion of photographic credibility this quote came from?
DP review.
Right.
Okay. Or deep preview, depending on what you're about. Right. But it's got a tilting screen and Wi-Fi. Two things, the 810, because, of course, the 810 is a serious professional camera, and the 750/710 is catering for the high-end amateur market.
Right.
But you know what?
What?
Tell Miss iPad shooter down at the sports today, who has to have her two high-end Nikon cameras with Wi-Fi adapters attached to them so they can Wi-Fi to her iPad.
So that she can deliver to a client, yeah.
Yeah, I know, but I'd rather have it. Built in.
Yeah.
These adapters are bloody expensive. And because they're hanging off the end of your camera, there's more chance they're going to get whacked and you turn around, bang, you're breaking it. Yeah. You know?
So when you say adapters, these are not iFi cards.
These are actual Nikon Wi-Fi modules that you connect to the camera.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, which of course means connection issues, weatherproofing issues, because it was raining when we were there.
Ooh.
Yeah, so there's all this stuff that you're thinking about. Yeah.
Talk to Adam Davidson about the rain, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Let's release a cheaper camera that does more. Yeah. But look, Canon were kind of in the same boat. They're 5D Mark III.
Yeah.
And their 6D, their cheaper version. Well, the 6D had Wi-Fi, the more expensive one didn't. The 6D had GPS, the more expensive one didn't. The 6D, because it had lower pixels, had lower noise issues. So, I mean, it's a weird world.
It is.
Yeah. But we in the amateur world, amateur photographers who lust for the more expensive stuff, sometimes bypass the better camera for it.
Mm.
Yeah, and I'm always saying to people looking at Nikon, yeah, seriously consider the 6D. Oh, but it's not the 5D, yeah, but look what it does.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
And if the things it does better are things you're going to use,
yeah,
well, yeah, save your bucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then Panasonic snuck a little a phone out.
Right.
It's a phone that's got Android operating system.
Nice.
It shoots 4K.
Wow.
It's got a fixed 28mm 2.8 lens.
Wow.
Yeah, it's called a Panasonic CM1. Now, the lens sticks out a bit, so it's sort of a halfway between a phone and a compact.
So what is it primarily? Is it a phone that has a really good camera, or is it a camera first and foremost that just happens to make phone calls?
Well, I think it can do both quite well by the looks of it. If you're shooting 4K video.
Yeah.
Which is 3K more than 1K, if you think about it. you go fact check that one on the Wikipedia, you'll find that's true. A 28mm fast prime lens, that's kind of good, you know?
That would be on a very small sensor. It wouldn't be 28mm on a 35mm sensor.
No.
It, you know, probably on some, you know, sensor the size of your pinky fingernail.
But it's still an interesting development.
Mm.
And I was fascinated to go to the Sony stand and see what wonders they've been coming out with.
Sorry, you went to the Sony stand?
I was checking all the stands online.
Of course. Right, okay.
I went to the Sony stand and what have they got?
Yeah.
They've been trendsetters for a while. Well, squat, quite frankly.
Oh, okay.
Somewhere halfway between diddly and squat.
Right.
They did release the new Zeiss 16-35.
Okay.
Which I've got to tell you, just looks absolutely awesome.
Right.
And absolutely stupid on these 7 cameras.
Why?
Well, it's bloody big. Oh. And these cameras are bloody small.
Yeah.
It's designed for something like your 850, where it would look perfectly balanced and reasonable.
Yeah,
you know, weight relationship to each other. Phenomenal lens, phenomenal quality, fabulous piece of kit. Looks stupid on the cameras they're bringing out because the cameras are so small.
Okay, question: is the lens an A mount or an E mount?
I didn't look that far.
Right. Okay.
A. E.
Okay, yeah. So the A mount is what I have and what has been carried over from the Minoltas.
I know what it is.
Yes.
I just didn't look.
Right.
Okay. Why would I? When do I ever?
Of course.
What are you expecting from me?
So what's the dog harness reference?
During the week, listeners, we got an email from a lady and saying that she really admires the work we do on our Shutters Inc. blog. Straight away we did it. A, there was really admires, and B, blog. But we really admire, and she thinks she could contribute to what we do and really add value.
Yeah.
And she had suggested some things on, I think, outdoor awnings.
Yes.
outdoor patios, adding value to your house. So, obviously, she's, you know,
she's researched our site well.
Well, she's looking at Shutters Inc., which is actually a company that does shutters for houses.
Yeah.
Shutters Inc. podcast, which is us.
Yeah.
But as you said, she's researched well. So next time I go on holidays, we're thinking about bringing her onto the show to replace me, because she's about as well researched as I am.
Yeah.
That'll make sense, won't it? Yeah. And the place that we met also at the same time.
Yeah.
find out a little bit about how to improve our houses and get some added value.
Excellent.
That can't be a bad thing, can it?
No.
It says ZA. Does that mean A? Mount?
What?
The lens. I'll go back to where we were. The lens. Keep up, will you? Keep up backwards in time.
ZA.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
It's probably a Zeiss thing, maybe more than a...
Maybe. Maybe it means that it's a Zeiss A mount lens.
Ooh, so ZA, that's where you're coming from. No, it says wide-angle zoom lens, Sony E, Nex.
Oh, well, there you go. It's an E mount.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I gathered that, dude. It's just, yeah, I'm stupid, but I'm not that stupid.
I'll be the judge of that.
The judge of that. I've got the photographic proof, he says. Oh, you are. Yeah, so if that's the case, oh, that's a damn big writing E-mount lens. Look at that. See that. If that's the case, it still looks stupid. But then they've got the new Sony QX1.
Right.
Which is, remember that those lenses? Yes. That weren't attached to the phone.
It was a little thing that you didn't attach to anything. You just held it in your hand, didn't you?
Or you could put it on your phone and use your phone as the controller for it.
Right.
Well, this one now, the QX1, has a Sony lens mount on the front.
Okay.
So you can put your Sony lenses onto it.
Oh, okay.
So there's a photo of it with the 70-200 2.8. And basically, it looks like using a telescope to your eye because it's basically this little black module at the end, about the same size as the bleeding lens.
Yeah, right.
And you're trying to hold this 70-200 somehow steady.
Yeah.
Sony, I don't know what you were thinking.
No.
However, dog harness.
Yeah.
They have released a dog harness.
Sony have released a dog harness?
Sony dog harness for their action camera.
Oh, okay.
Now, Matt, your action camera on the back of a dog.
Awesome.
I'd love to see their steady cam work on that sucker. But what, you know, Sony are not bringing much out when the news reports are talking about the dog harness. There's this lens, and this dog harness. Next, we go to Panasonic.
Yes. Nice.
Oh, now, I've only got a couple of more things. One more thing from the show.
Yeah.
This thing called a relaunch.
Right.
R-E-L-O-N-C-H. And
okay.
Relaunch.com. Well, basically, it's an iPhone cover for your iPhone, funnily enough, which a bit like the QX series from Sony, which you can actually use your camera to control this cover. And the cover's basically got a 20mm or 28mm f2 lens on the front.
Oh, okay. So this is like a body with a lens, and you stick your iPhone into it.
Into it, yeah. So it then becomes a camera,
right?
No, I don't know if there's going to be AirWear, but here's the stupid thing about this one.
Yeah,
it's a night of stupidity, isn't it? So first up, on the lens itself, it says if I can get the damn thing to flip around again, it's just change its views on my.
Everyone can create family photos. Fancy photos.
Everyone can create fancy photography, fancy photos.
And hashtag and save the photography.
Save the photography? Shouldn't it be save photography? What's the doing there?
No idea.
Save the photography, because the photography needs help. The photography's in trouble. Last time I saw the photography, I looked at it and said, you don't look well. The photography. But you can take fancy photos.
Yeah.
We call it magazine class photos in one nice click. We call it fancy photos. So here's the thing. The point of it is great quality lens.
Yeah.
Really, really wide open aperture for beautiful background blur.
Yeah.
All coupled with an APS-C size sensor built into the case. Sounds good, doesn't it?
Hang on. The case has got a sensor.
Well, it has to, because the case, it's like the Sony lens. It's all self-contained, but it's controlled by the camera. So this is a self-contained sensor and lens.
Okay, I kind of misunderstood. I thought it was still using the camera of the iPhone.
No. It puts this lens and its own sensor. So it's got an APS-C size sensor.
Okay, yep.
20 whatever mil, 2.8 f2 lens.
Okay.
For fancy photos.
Mm-hmm. Which is not bad, because that's the equivalent of like a 30mm 2.8.
With and maximum resolution of, well, maximum megapixels of 1.
Wow. What?
Say 1 megapixel camera.
Wow. Okay.
It's a why bother?
Yeah. I mean, I know I keep saying, you know, less is more, but that's kind of going a little bit too far in the opposite direction.
And it can only shoot square photos.
Oh.
And you have you have great filter choices of color or black and white.
Right.
Here's the thing. Lots of megapixels make no sense. That's why, as we developed Relaunch Camera, we were focused on photography, not tech specs. Because the photography, there he is again, the photography is something much more. Moments, emphasis, not emphasis, emotions. Our fight is not for the megapixels. Our fight is for the magazine quality photos on your smartphones. You just can't print them out for the magazines.
Yeah, that's the thing.
The 1 megapixel.
I mean, okay, if they're 1 megapixel and they're square, that basically means you're talking 3,333 pixels on each axis.
How'd you figure that out?
Well, because 3.3 squared is 10.
Oh, I gotcha.
But my point is, that's just going a little bit too far in the opposite direction, isn't it?
Estimated,
I mean, really.
Delivery date, because they're not actually really out there to be bought yet. Late 2015.
Whoa.
But you can pre-order now for only $499.
For a 1 megapixel camera?
And of course, by the time it comes out, the phone won't be around anymore that it fits.
Exactly.
I've got a feeling, Relaunch, ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Recycle might be a better word. Let's just recycle that sucker right now. It's odd. And they had demo ones at Photokina.
Right.
But they were tethered to PCs because that's what was doing the processing at the moment. They're held together with gaffer tape. And the size is about 4 times the size the end production model is supposed to end up being. So it looks nothing like it. It wasn't even remotely built.
Wow.
They're trying to get people to drop $500 in this thing.
Yeah, right.
So if you're needing to save the photography,
you might want to do it with a different camera.
You might want to do it a different way.
I do like the image of the comet.
There, so the last thing, the actual only useful bit of photography talk tonight. So we talked about this a while
ago.
Speak
for yourself. I haven't got to my stuff yet. You've just crapped on for an hour.
As I said, you know. Yeah. We talked about this rocket ship heading towards the comet a long time ago. Well, it's only a couple of months out now. It lands in November, so 2 months out.
Right.
But it's been getting some phenomenal shots, not only of the solar system, but of asteroids that we've never seen, and now of this comet. The photos are incredible. You just got to see them. So they'll pick up just amazing stuff.
The thing that's freaky about it is when you look at it, it's still and sharp and crisp.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, like any good photo should be. But, you know, when you actually think that this thing is hurtling through space at God knows how many thousands of kilometers an hour, it's a hell of an achievement to be able to...
Well, it's actually going zero.
Why? It's a comet. It's got to be moving.
The rocket ship's traveling the same speed alongside it.
But that's my point.
Oh, I see what you're coming
That we've got the technology to, A, know that this comet is out there, B, to work out the trajectory it's traveling on, C, to develop a craft that we can send out to rendezvous with it, but then swing it around and get it traveling in the same, you know, as you said, parallel course at the same speed, and then take a photo of it and then send that photo back to us is just phenomenal.
Absolutely. And to think they have to swing it around Mars 3 times or something to get it to go out there.
To get the velocity, yeah.
Very, very cool. So some great photos. So what have you got for us? You can have your moment in the sun. You've got a minute.
I've got a minute. One thing that I got today in my email, and this will only be of relevance to Sydney listeners, although Melbourne might be doing the same thing.
Tell you what, bring that bit at the very end, And then by people who aren't there, they can just turn off.
That's a good point. Okay. What else have I got? I've got to scroll back through all your crap to find what else I had. This thing that was on DIYphotography.net. This was just brilliant. It was creator turns old photos from the Library of Congress into creepy GIF animations. Did you have a look at this?
I did. They're creepy.
It's just a bunch of old, photos from the Library of Congress, and he's just done all kinds of weird things with these images, turned them into GIF animations, and, some of them really are downright scary.
But once again, people too much time in their hands. Yeah, get absolutely. A real job. Come on. Oh, that's Josh and Tom.
But,
you know what I mean.
But well worth a look, so that'll be in the show notes for those that want to check it out. Adam sent us a link to a guy who put up a blog post with some sample images from the Light Blaster, which you mentioned many months ago. I think this was a Kickstarter or an Indiegogo project.
And we talked about last episode.
Was it? Oh, did we? Oh, okay. Well, fine. Won't talk about it then.
I'm glad it's not just me who doesn't listen to our own podcast and the extensive talk we had about them in last episode. So if you don't know what a Light Blaster is, and you're curious, listeners, go listen to the last episode for the 10 minutes we waffle on about it then.
That you waffle on about it.
Remember the photos in the tunnel with the
Yeah, we talked about last. Was that only last week?
Can you believe it?
It felt like months ago. Maybe I was just wishing it was.
We talked about it months ago, and then we talked about it last week as well. Okay. I know. All these days apart seem like months. I understand.
So anyway, the thing that I got in the mail today was from Dragon Image.
Should we just say goodbye, and then people who don't want to listen to this stuff about promotion of something in bloody Sydney? Let's face it, no one cares about Sydney.
Look,
they can just turn off.
So I thought it was
good night
sharing.
For him, and it's good night for me. Thanks for listening. Hey, Bruce.
Bye, Glenn.
Sydney?
Yeah.
I'm going too. So you just finish off and see you later.
Okay, so he did. He hung up on me. So anyway, as I was saying, this email came through today from Dragon Image, and now he's sending me messages on Skype. I'm just going to log out of Skype, and that way you can't buzz me anymore. This came through in my email today from Dragon Image here in Sydney. They are having what they are calling a garage sale and swap meet on Saturday, the 4th of October in Sydney. And the only reason I brought it up was because it looked like there were some decent specials there. A lot of higher lighting gear that they're selling. Anything from 30 to 60% off by the looks of it. Just doing some rough number crunching in my head. So anyway, I'll put the link to that in the show notes. So if you are interested, if you're in Sydney and you want to have a look, it'll be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on October the 4th. So I would say goodbye to Glenn, but he's already gone. And so we will talk to you next week. Bye.
Shutterzing, another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shutterzingpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shutterzingpodcast.com.